Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to We Are Seek and Strike Podcast, the official podcast of Seek and Strike Collective, powered by Doral Motors and Roadrunner Law Firm. Here's your hosts, Seth and Chris.
Welcome to the Hive, everybody. Of course, my name is Seth Bidoff, and it's just been a fantastic week. Joining me tonight across the table, we've got Alicia. How are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
All right, thanks for being here. And to my left, to my right, we've got Josh Carrillo on the board. Josh, how are you this week?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty well. And of course, to my left, the one, the only, back from Cali, Chris. What's going on, dude? How was your trip? How you been?
The trip was good. I am jet lagged officially.
Well, how can you be jet lagged? It's just one time zone.
Man, I feel like my head is still stuck somewhere in the sky.
Well, that's probably because that photo you showed us of the girl you met up with. I mean, maybe, I don't think it has anything to do with the flight itself. I think that's what it is. So, Chris, you guys can see Chris. He's just beaming here tonight. Being tired and all. But we're glad to have you back. Yeah. It seems like you had a great trip.
I had a great trip, man, so, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, we're super excited to be here. Great show tonight. Of course, as always, the song you heard at the top of the show is Humor Me by the band California Redemption. If you want to find out more about it, you can find the band on Bandcamp. That's California Redemption, California with a K. And, of course, you know, as always, we are brought to you by our super awesome sponsors, Doral Motors and Roadrunner Law Firm. And we've got so much to talk about tonight. We've got Open Cup match against FC Dallas. We've got our inaugural match against Los Dos. We've got men's national team, women's national team. There's just so much to talk about. It's going to be kind of a different show because, of course, we don't have a match this weekend. First weekend off in a while. I think the club definitely needs it. But I think we've got so much to do, so much to talk about. And as always, if you're listening in with us live tonight, remember you can be a part of the show by texting us. Our number is 505-431-8860. We mentioned it. We've got so much to talk about. First thing, I mean, just kind of touching on everybody's week. Well, I know we've all been watching some World Cup. You know, working some CONCACAF Gold Cup, watching some Copa America. I mean, the biggest thing right now is the U.S. women's national team has advanced to the quarterfinals with their win today over Spain, 2-1 victory. We were talking about it before the show, and it's questionable calls. Was that second penalty really a penalty? All right, what do you guys think about that?
I feel like it was, again, like how United played against Phoenix Rising in the Open Cup, the very first match, softest penalty ever. I have a feel like I'm a fan of the U.S. Women's team, but, you know, Spain got robbed, in all honesty. At first, I thought we were going to win. It was going to be, like, another game against Chile, like 4-0, 3-0. Mm-hmm. But then again, I saw them, the way they played against Germany, and they weren't playing that well, but they really stepped up their game today, and I felt that they should have taken that win.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely should have. You know, with the win today, the national team, the women's national team advances to play France. You know, this is the big matchup that everyone's been wanting to see. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm kind of disappointed it's happening so early. I would have liked to have seen this later on, you know, maybe semifinal or the final match. Looking at it, I know that match is coming up, I think it's on the 26th?
Friday.
On Friday. So, I mean, you guys, Josh, Chris, you guys have any predictions? What are we going to see? Is the U.S. going to continue their dominant run? Or is France one of those clubs that can upset them?
It's been tough to watch the Women's World Cup this year, just because the what is that, the virtual assistant,
the VAR
replay. I think it's made the game so unbearable to watch, and that's not the World Cup. Like, how many times did we see that in the men's World Cup?
We saw it a lot in the men's World
Cup. Didn't we?
Yes,
like, I don't remember seeing it that much.
And if you're watching the MLS, we see it all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, I get where you're coming from. There have been definitely been some questionable calls.
But even today, I was watching it at work when I had a minute, and I agree with you that Spain did get robbed. I don't know if that would have, like, I know it made us win, but I think it would have gone into extra time for sure. I think we would have came out with it in the end, but I think you could just tell the Spain coach that he was very upset with that call, and he really didn't want to shake the USA coach's hand after the game. And, you know, I really like Alex Morgan, but, you know, what has she done in this tournament besides that first game?
Yeah.
She hasn't. She's had 5 goals, but all 5 were against Thailand. Yeah.
To me, she didn't do anything today. She was like very, you know, kind of cocky, and I didn't like that attitude about her at all.
All right, Chris, did you get a chance to watch it? I know you were traveling. Have you seen any of the World Cup?
No, I haven't. You know, what I did see today, and I was going to watch that later, so I may have to have a comment later on, but. What I did see today, though, is that they have a new ball, and I didn't realize that they were changing balls. So they got this tricolor 19, and apparently this is named after the original ball that was first used in 1998. It was like a tricolor. It had like the red, white, and blue, if you will, kind of like, or red, blue, and white for like the French flag. And what I think is interesting is that so they got this new ball coming out, and U.S. is playing France, and it seems very fitting. Like, will the U.S., you know, beat France with the tricolor 19, and it's like this thing, or will France use this ball and just totally just, you know, just decimate them? But I have to ask you this question.
Okay,
so we know, and this is old news, but obviously, you know, from the point when U.S. won 13-0, we know all the different conversations that surrounded that, and I'm not necessarily going into the piece about the score and running it up and whatnot. But considering that match and then looking at this like 2-1 match where, you know, if it wasn't for the PKs, the U.S. would have lost that match, is that what do you think the conversation stems around the team now? Are people like, oh, okay, well, they just barely pulled it out. Man, they should have won by like 10 goals. Like, do you think that people are saying that, or what do you think is going on?
I don't necessarily think so. Not against a club like Spain.
No.
Spain's one of the better clubs in the world, especially on the women's side. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's the conversation. I don't think anyone expected it to be, you know, 5-0, 6-0. I mean, if you did, I mean, more power to you. But looking at it realistically, like I just said, they're one of the premier clubs in the world. I don't think it's realistic.
It shouldn't be an easy ride all the way to the finish now. No. This is, I can see against Thailand, a smaller country like that. Yes, I can see that. But now you got the best of the best. Spain gave everything they had, and you want to beat the USA, you give everything you have. Because honestly, we are beatable. Yes, we have superstars on our team, but we are a very beatable club. Look what happened to us in the Olympics. We got sent out early.
Yeah.
You know, we are a beatable team, and what's causing us to lose is I totally agree with you, is the cockiness of this team.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're the best in the world, and they know that they're the ones that everybody's after, but you've got to respect other countries too, because it's going to come back and get you. And if France upsets the USA, I wouldn't be upset.
Me either.
I
don't think anyone would.
No.
Speaking of the United States being beatable, men's national team and the CONCACAF Gold Cup, they are 2-0 now in the group stage. They just beat Trinidad and Tobago, the team that eliminated them from World Cup qualifying last time around. Beat them 6-0. I mean, is there really anything to take away from this? Is this club really one that we can see in the next World Cup cycle qualifying? Can they win the Gold Cup? I mean, what's the deal with this team? I mean, honestly, they didn't look great in the first half against Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did have the 1-0 lead at half, came back and scored 5 in the second half, but it shouldn't be this big of a problem this late, you know, this far into the cycle.
Yeah, no, it really shouldn't. I believe that the U.S. has won, I believe, 6 Gold Cups, I'm not sure, but as of right now, looking at the other games, I feel like Mexico is a stronger team than the U.S.
Yeah, after that 7-0 drubbing they put on Cuba, I mean, Mexico's got to be the favorites in the Gold Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can anyone be willing to debate me on that? I mean,
No. I definitely agree with you. I watched that match, and I mean, they put a whooping on them. It was crazy.
No, they definitely did. And in the Trinidad and Tobago match, I mean, Giassi Azardis, of all people, netted a brace. I mean, the guy is hot or cold. Like, he's not always on, but he's there just enough. I mean, I don't know if you saw the one goal. I think it was in the previous match where the or they tried to clear it, and it went off his face. Like, I mean, guy just happened to be in the right place at the right time for that, you know? But, I mean, is it, again, is this men's club one, can they qualify for the World Cup next year?
Sure, they could. It's up to them to prove that they belong there. That's the thing. And every time I think of Trinidad Tobago, I'm sorry, but I go back to the Mighty Ducks movies.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I really think we have a good squad. Are we World Cup ready? No. I don't think so.
Winning the World Cup change? I'm sorry, not the World Cup. Does winning the Gold Cup change anyone's perspective on this team?
No.
No.
So even if we win, we're I think we're all pretty much on the same page here.
Because I think if we went up against France or we went up against Germany, I think we wouldn't last.
I mean, without Christian Pulisic, without some of these other guys in there, we look like a completely different club. You know, Greg Berhalter's come in. You know, he's made some changes. Mm-hmm. We have performed better. But, again, we lost recently 3-0 to Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're doing better in the Gold Cup, but I just don't know that they're ready for
it. No, not at all. No. I think, like I said, if you put us against France, Germany, Brazil, it'd be like my ex, ugly.
Wow. All right, Josh, okay, like, cool. Pop-Tart over there. Here, try one of these Pop-Tarts. We got strawberry milkshake Pop-Tarts here. We've got a couple other things we're going to munch on throughout the show.
That was so hateful.
You know, we'll let you guys know what we think of them. You know, and moving on to the next kind of topic we wanted to hit real quick. Yes, we have the off week this week. We picked up a point Saturday night against Los Dos. You know, looking at the Western Conference standings, we are currently sitting fourth. Our matches of late have not been great. We know the results as far as league play goes. You know, Phoenix Rising has definitely overcome their early season issues. They've now won, I think, 7 in a row now that they've won. They've shot to the top of the table. They're now also leading the USL in goals scored across all clubs. And some of these other clubs, too, like Portland's been playing better. Even Fresno has been a little bit. Sacramento's been playing better since their win against us. I mean, we're halfway through this season. Chris, you and I kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago after the show. We talked about doing like a mid-season report. I mean, we're one match away from the midway point.
No, we're there.
We've already played our halfway.
Yeah, we're there.
I mean, if we had to give the club a report card here, what would you guys rate us?
Alicia, you got the honors. You got first dibs.
I mean, when Chris and I talked about this, we kind of talked about breaking it down. You know, how would we rate our attack? How would we rate our defensive effort? How would we rate Cody, and the goalkeeping effort? Or do we rate the club as a whole? I mean,
no, I feel like in each aspect of the team, it has to be different, grades, because we're very different. On the offensive side, I give us, a B+, we're getting there. And defense, oh my God, it's lacking. We really need to get back there, because when you see them play, you see Santi going offensive, but then when they're coming back, he sees that no one's really trying to defend as well. So you just see him sprinting back, trying to help them out. And that can be hard as a midfielder, running back and forth, and your stamina just goes by quick.
Yeah, like I had a conversation kind of with some different people, and one thing that we were talking about is, if you think about the roster for the team, like, they really just have enough players. Like, they don't have a huge roster. I mean, they're sitting at 22 bodies,
mm-hmm.
and when it comes down to it, I mean, this is it. We have heard Coach say before that there wasn't going to be anyone else. And now if I go into my analysis a little bit, or my grading, I would say, I think the defense is at like C+. And I mean, I think sometimes it is B, mm-hmm. like right at a B, but I think why I would put it at C+, B-, is because we have given up a number of goals as well. And so it's one thing to score so many goals as we have. Like, if you think about the San Antonio game,
mm-hmm.
where we went up, was that the 5-1 game? Or was that?
No, we beat Real 5-1.
That was 5-1 Real, right? Yeah. But it was San Antonio was 3-1?
I believe so,
right?
Yeah.
So we scored a lot of points, but we also we're giving goals away. If you think about Portland, if you think about, you know, obviously Las Vegas Lights, right? So to me, like, that has to be fixed. Now, if we think about, so I was at, you know, we'll talk about the Los Dos game, but I just want to use that as an example. Clearly, Los Dos focused on Sampson and Hamilton, really just worked on getting it into that corner. And I mean, I thought they were pretty successful in kind of coming through, because what our defenders are doing is they're biting on the ball, mm-hmm. or they aren't getting a good look on the headers, you know, as far as keeping it out of the back third. So in that regard, they're allowing the other team to kind of get a unique look at the ball and get shots that they shouldn't be getting. On the attack, I think that the attack, I'd probably say B. I don't think that anyone's going to say that they're like an A. I mean, because of the fact that they don't always get numbers up.
Right.
You know, if you think about some of the matches, you got the forwards up, but you got six guys still at mid to backfield, and they're still in this sequence of trying to build out of the back, but the ball is already up.
Yeah.
You know, so they have to come up. So I think that, you know, to be critical, I mean, we love our team, right? But, you know, but as being what we are with Seek and Strike Collective and being like this, like, source, like, we have to be able to call it down the middle.
Yeah.
You know, and there are things that they have to fix. You know, as far as collecting points on the road, I think that we have to be happy about them getting points on the road. Mm-hmm. They get a draw, that's okay. You know, we should be thinking at least get one on the road.
Yeah, points on the road are always good, but against some of these struggling teams, like, you know, going into Las Vegas or going into this past weekend at Los Dos, we really should have come away with 3 points.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we played a bit of a modified, very modified roster against Las Vegas. But against Los Dos, we had this, and we'll get into this again, we had the same exact lineup as we did Wednesday night at FC Dallas. I mean, you know, looking at the club as a whole, how we've done so far here in the first half, I mean, I think Troy's done a fantastic job with what we have. We have some very talented guys, and I've seen a couple more articles this week talking about guys like Kevon Frater getting looks from MLS clubs, which is very well deserved. You know, Kevon has come on, he's leading the Golden Boot race right now. We've got guys like Santi who can score. Now, I do have one back with Santi. It's that early in the season, you know, when he was playing on that left wing, we would see him get to the edge of the box right there, the quarter, and he'd take that right-footed shot as soon as he got space.
Yep.
He has not been taking that shot in recent weeks.
I know. And
I don't know what it is. I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, it's we've talked about it, you know, at our watch parties over at Salt Yard. You know, like, why is he not taking that shot?
You know, I don't know. Maybe he sees that, you know, people talk like, oh, he can dribble, he can get through them. And he can. But if he has the foot, I feel like he should be taking that shot.
Yeah.
Even, you know, you never know if it's going to go in. And most of his shots are on frame and some, like, go over the goal. But, you know, he has the foot, and the scores would be very different from what they are right now.
Yeah, I definitely feel like he's not taking as many shots. You know, I'll have to go back and look at the stats just to verify that. But, yeah, just that, like I said, early on he was taking that one shot from the left side of the box, and he was just deadly from there. And now you see him get a little bit of space, and he tends to just lay it off to somebody else.
Well, they definitely are doubling down on him. I mean, let's definitely look at that. I mean, anytime that he comes up the left, they double down. Usually it's from the inside first, and then, of course, they work the way on the out.
Yeah, without a doubt. And being so dangerous, that is going to happen. You know? So,
but we have seen other looks, though. Like, he is, you know, he does come down the left side, but you are seeing that when they are setting up in the attacking half, that he then drops over to the right side of the field. So he's interweaving and looking for different looks. I think that, you know, in all fairness, you know, considering how they've added Bruce to the lineup, that has kind of balanced out the attack. It has given us something on both sides. I mean, obviously, we want Bruce to open an account and get some points so that other teams go, oh, okay, hey, there's a guy on the right side too. Now we can't just send two or three guys over to Santi's side every time. You know, it will be evenly spread.
Yeah, and Bruce has had a few shots where he's come close, and I I'm going to say it every week until he does it. He's on the verge of opening that account, getting his first professional goal. And I think once he does, we're going to see a lot more goals from him.
He was until he dished it to Kevon Frater this past weekend.
Oh,
he had such a look. But that pass, though, and
we'll get into that one.
But that pass was really nice. But, I mean, on the whole, I mean, honestly, statistically, we're one of the better shooting clubs in the league. We've got the best accuracy rating. We're among the best in conversion rating. So it's really hard to fault us too much. I mean, I'd say B plus, A minus. I mean, we still got some work to do on actually finishing. I mean, we've seen some very close shots. You know, Schmitty's off the post the other day.
Oh.
That was just a heartbreaker right there. But so, we've got some work. I don't think we're necessarily poor. I just think we haven't had as many good looks the past few weeks. Defensively, on the other hand, taking out the Sacramento and the Vegas match, our defensive form has vastly improved over the beginning of the season. Our clearances have gotten better. We've gotten better at engaging, at closing down space. Look at what we did against FC Dallas, and we'll get into that too. We had a different look. And we were super solid defensively. So there, I'm going to give us B minus to B, somewhere there. Still a lot of room for improvement. Ethan Sampson came in, and I think that's been just a catalyst for the improvement that we've seen. I think Schmitty and Hamilton being in there for consecutive matches in a row has really helped. And, of course, we've got the best keeper in the league. So Cody gets an A+ from me, There's only so much that Cody can do. I mean, he's a divot fixer. He picks up switchblades off the field. Cody does it all, So I give Cody an A+,
So let me lead us into this next section. Let's talk about FC Dallas, right? So obviously this is our second MLS team that we played, and going into the match, I know that the predictions split down the middle. I mean, me and Alicia thought that we'd get a win, whereas you and Josh, Seth, you thought that would be the end of the road. So now that we're at the other end of it, I wanted to hear from you two. I know that you said you hoped that you would be wrong, and of course, obviously you were, but I want to hear from you guys now on, the relief you felt or your experience during the match. Like, get your post-reaction on that real quick.
I wouldn't necessarily call it relief. Like, I just went into it looking at how FC Dallas had been playing, looking at their roster, who they would have available. They had the 16-year-old Pepe in there.
Mm-hmm.
They had some other guys that were in there that had plenty of experience in MLS. I mean, it was basically a half to three-quarter MLS squad. And really, it wasn't necessarily relief. It was, okay, like, we played better than what I expected. Looking at what Troy did there in the second half with the substitutions that he made once we got the lead, the 2-1 lead, playing five at the back, which is something we haven't played yet this year, I felt that just really shut down FC Dallas. I didn't think we would get to that point.
Watching the game, I was watching it at Adamish's. I told you, we do good when I don't watch it at the at these certain places that you guys want me to go to. No name. I was watching it, and they played better than I thought they would. There were some missed opportunities that I think that SC Dallas could have capitalized on, most definitely. Like I said, I'm happy to eat those words that I said that we were going to go and this would be the end of the road. I'm happy they proved me wrong. Going into the next one, we'll get into that later, but I feel like we're ready. I think this game was a momentum swing for us. But the one thing is I'm concerned about is how much longer are they going to last and with how exhausted they are.
Well, and that's the great thing about this.
I'm glad we get a break now.
Yeah.
But
and, we got the week break, and then we've got one match coming up before we get back into the real heavy schedule again. It's going to be back to 2 a week with the
and playing in a brand new stadium too in Minnesota too.
Well, and look, they only played for 90 minutes, so to me that's why it was okay, right? I mean, getting the result within the actual regulated time is going to be good.
Yeah.
I do have to say this. I feel like it's fitting to say this, that we do really well against the state of Texas. Like, you know, like
Colorado and Texas.
You know what? It's a smash and grab, but but like I said, it's cattle grabbed. Okay, because it to me, like, we came in and we're like, yo, we're moving you. We're moving you out of the way. So here we are, another MLS team beat. We've won now four Open Cup matches.
Mm-hmm. On the road.
On the road. Because we don't obviously have a home.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's just, you know, I reached out to the club, and basically what I was told is that of the facilities we have available to us, and none of them are compliant with the USOC needs, which is really frustrating. I mean, UNM Soccer Complex is booked for the senior games this past week. For the, all the other matches, I think the Isotopes are in town, and there really isn't anywhere else in town to play.
I feel like what needs to happen is that every time we win on the road, we need to just go ahead. Maybe it's the curse. Maybe whoever, who knows who it is, but they just need to pull a Baker Mayfield. Just run out into the middle of the field and just, bam, just pop a flag in the middle of the stadium, because it's just another place that we've basically conquered.
Have you seen the imperialism maps on
Reddit? No, no.
You have to, okay, so this thing on Reddit, they do it for MLS, USL, they're called imperialism maps. And so basically, if a club goes into another city and they win, you know, every club starts out with like their home territory. So like we have Albuquerque in all of New Mexico, Phoenix is Arizona, and so on. If we were to go out to Phoenix and beat the Rising, the imperialism map would change, and we'd then take over all of their area. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, it's a neat little thing.
Does that mean Vegas has their mark in here in New Mexico?
Yeah, Vegas has their mark here now.
Right, but no, but that was in Vegas.
Yeah, so that, yeah, that one they would.
Oh, you have to beat them in their, okay.
Beat them in their home
state. Yeah, that was in Vegas.
Excuse me. It's definitely interesting. I mean, there's a lot to take away from, you know, the FC Dallas match. I mean, you know, 90 minutes, we went toe-to-toe with basically a full MLS squad. Pepe didn't really, I could probably count on both hands the number of touches that he got the entire match. I thought we did a good job of limiting him.
I mean, that guy signed a pro contract with FC Dallas, too, so
yeah.
No longer a loney.
Yeah, no longer a loney, but, you know, he's definitely, he's talented. I bet they'll, you know, drop him down to, they'll probably loan him out to, say, like, Houston or El Paso or something like that, you know, just to get him some minutes instead of playing at North, I think it was North Texas.
Yeah, El Paso, they would want him, but speaking of El Paso, because, you know, I'm all about just kicking them while they're down, they went into a full explosion on Twitter a couple weeks ago when we had lost to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh man, New Mexico lost, and they won, and they had won so many straight, and they were in first place for even a few hours, right? And so here it is that they would play Las Vegas right after us, and they would lose 1-0. And I just have to say, the minute that I heard, and this is how I heard about it. So Carson Merck, you know, who was on the show last week in episode 8, he was also at Los Dos's game that we're about to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. And so he had come because, you know, obviously, like I told you, he wrote for RGV, and so he did a piece on Manny Padilla. And so he was there to kind of see him and see me ultimately, and kind of so we can all kind of meet up. But he told me, he's like, El Paso just lost. And I felt like I couldn't get my cell phone out of my pocket fast enough to go ahead and get on Twitter and talk a little crap.
Yeah.
And that's just me. So I got to say, like, that I've gone on record saying that I feel like Locomotive's offense is one-dimensional because they just rely a lot on Key Sweater. And we know they do.
Yeah.
But anyways, going back to our show, I got to make sure that, you know, if they live in my head rent-free, that they at least know that they're doing some chores. They need to mop the floors because they can't hold leads.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, El Paso's not even worth the space that we've given them on this show. So, I mean, we'll see them again here
We will see them in a few weeks. Yeah. That's right.
So, unfortunately, we'll have to talk about them then. But right now, I'd rather talk about Los Dos.
Let's talk about it.
We gave our predictions. Unfortunately, I don't have my prediction sheet in front of us, but, you know, I think most of us went into it thinking that we were going to get the victory, you know, and it's tough because You know, I mentioned earlier, we had the same exact lineup we put out against FC Dallas. You know, seeing the guys, you know, like you said, we got out of FC Dallas in 90 minutes. We got the win. Getting our best 11 out there. And honestly, from my perspective, it looked like we really struggled with pacing at times. It looked like we struggled with the crispness of our passes. You know, of course, Kevon did get another goal. It's his 11th of the season. He leads the Golden Boot race. It's his 14th across all competitions if you look at it season-wide. So it's no, you know, it's no surprise he may get looks from an MLS squad. But, I mean, that's just what I felt the match looked like. You know, Los Dos had that super high press that they employed throughout the match. And that's typically something that we do. And I don't know if you saw it, but against FC Dallas, there was a point where Schmitty barely got the ball out of the back. Same thing happened Saturday night against Los Dos. And I saw it coming. I said, Schmitty, you got to get rid of that ball. And Los Dos just came out, and they honestly look so much sharper than we did.
Yeah, but they also aren't playing as many matches as we're playing.
Well, that is true, and we can say that for most of the other clubs that we're facing off against now. But no matter what the case is, we've got to have that sharpness week in and week out. There were so many passes I thought that were so poorly weighted, especially in our own half, that I'm surprised Los Dos didn't put a couple more on us.
Let's talk about that sequence where there was that crazy pass matrix happening. Do you mm-hmm. remember that? I think it was somewhere in the second half. And all of our players got in on this crazy pass in a sequence, and it was just like Los Dos was definitely dancing around trying to figure out where the ball was. Yeah. And it was so beautiful. It's just unfortunate that it didn't amount to anything more than just something awesome to look at.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's something that Troy stressed all season long is ball movement. You know, moving the ball around, getting into space. And as good as the movement was at times, it wasn't enough.
Something that's really bothered me, I think, when I'm watching them too, is that they'll get ahead. You know, it'll be Frater one-on-one, like 1v1 with someone. Mm-hmm. And then he does that thing where he gets that extra footwork, and then all of a sudden there's just no shot anymore. And I'm like, they just got to finish. And I feel like there were times where they had the ball up, but that they failed to really execute because of all the extra footwork and all the extra touches that they were doing.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm sure, Lisa, you saw the same thing. You know, there are times, we talked about it earlier, you know, why isn't Santi taking that shot? We saw, you mentioned it briefly, Chris, you know, Brucey had the ball in space on the right-hand side, and yes, he laid it off the Frater. And fortunately, it did result in a goal.
That pass was dirty.
That was a dirty pass.
It was dirty because it was actually behind Frater.
Yeah.
He had to go back for it, you know.
Yeah, it was perfectly weighted to right where it needed to be. But, yeah, it was behind him. And Frater one-timed it in. But, yeah, I mean, at least, looking at it, are we making quick enough decisions? Are we making the right decisions at times?
I don't know. To me, the match against Los Dos, I felt like it was slow. I don't know what you guys think about that. It was really slow, and you can see it at the FC Dallas game. Guzman would have the ball. He'd put his foot on top of it, trying to see what decisions he's had, and then man on right away, and the ball was taken away from us. And that's what we kind of struggle with, too. We hold on for the ball for too long, and I think we just need to start making quicker decisions. You see somebody open, just pass it to them, because you know they're obviously professionals. They know what they're doing,
yeah.
And you have to trust your own teammates. So, yeah.
When there was a point when Troy obviously brought in Estrada, right? And so we are now a little bit more geared to know what's happening at that time. He's bringing in Estrada. You know, it's going to obviously kind of give a little additional support. There's a little tempo change.
Yeah.
I personally, from where I was sitting in the stands, I thought, you know, given the fact that Los Dos was really targeting Hamilton and Sampson and just really getting the first balls and even the second balls on them,
mm-hmm.
that it made sense for why he would go ahead and put Estrada in, just to kind of help out on that side a little bit. But I think that the other thing that is, I guess, is a little crazy with that is that I still kind of struggle to see, like, okay, you bring him in, and I know what he's trying to do with it, yeah. But, you know, I don't know, like, was that the best situation? It was the best call for what I think he was trying to do as far as trying to disrupt, because obviously things were getting in the back third a lot. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, Seth, and I guess along the lines of that is, like, how do you feel like our midfield play is? I mean, when I talked to Troy, he felt like we didn't struggle in the backfield as much, that we were able to move things up to the midfield. We were able to move through the mid and play to the front. But, of course, when you watch it, you're like, it just seemed like things were not flowing that well. And I'm just wondering, you know, do you see it like the way he saw it, or how do you feel?
You know, I kind of feel it was different than that. You know, I see where he's coming from. You know, there were times where we did move the ball well, but for a large portion of it sitting there, I kept looking at some of the weights on the passes and some of the decisions we were making, trying to play the ball up. And there was one in particular late in the second half where I think it was Ethan tried to play it up towards the middle of the pitch, and there was just nobody there for our side. It went straight to a Los Dos player, and they came down the pitch, you know, threatening the own goal. And so that's what my concern is. We didn't, at times, we just didn't look crisp. We didn't look like we had the same energy level that Los Dos did. And so I think that's where my concern is. You know, and again, of course, the way we play is all a product of the schedule. You know, with the surely there were tired legs over the past few weeks, but. You know, and that's just what I see, and I can, like I said, I see where Troy's coming from. Because, you know, for portion of that, we did make very nice movements, very crisp passing there in the field, in the middle, especially in moving the ball up. But it's those mistakes that did happen that kind of they felt almost worse than how well we were playing at times.
Well, and here this is what we ultimately have to take away. If you're the listener, you're listening in, is that they got a point on the road. They used practically the same lineup that they used in the FC Dallas match. This was possible because they didn't go past 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I know when I was talking to Troy, you know, it changed the way I thought about what he saw versus what we see. We see, it was a 1-1 match. You know, a lot of people ask, how'd it go? You know, but again, remember, you're walking into someone else's stadium and you're preventing them from getting 3 points at home. You're going to at least steal one. And if you can get three, you're going to get three.
Right.
So I thought that was good. But I do have a burning question. And I don't know if maybe anyone else is thinking this, but I am. Manny Padilla, that's his backyard. How do you not play a guy who's like whole family is out there watching him possibly getting to play? I honestly was like, really? Like, He rode the bench that night. That was crazy.
I don't think that had anything to do with coach's decision. I don't think that played into it at all.
Okay, so let me ask you this. All right, so your whole family comes and you have the potential to get in, right? Because we know he plays. We know that he started in that fullback position. Like, I mean, of course let me back up. He's not going to play him because his family showed up, but he's worthy of playing. Yeah. I just thought it was crazy that he's in his backyard and didn't get a play.
I mean, like I said, it's you know, I can't fault Troy for not playing him.
I can.
I mean, I'm sorry, you can't let that play into your decision. Yes, he's good enough to play, but if you look at his run of, if you look at his form since he came back from what we believe was a suspension, you know, Troy even told us that he played his way into the match. Him and honestly Schmitty doesn't look good either. But neither of them really look completely match fit at times.
They're
still getting back into that flow.
Here's another question for you. Because I feel like this is the question you would ask, so I'm going to ask it for you. Where in the world is Tony Soler? He was there, but he hasn't played in a couple matches.
What's up, Seth?
What's up? Because I feel like you would have that question for me.
No, that is a great question. I'm not concerned about Tony. I think it's just the level of play that we've seen from Juan Pablo, and we've seen from Bees, and there in the midfield, and you know, having Salih. I think Salih is a better defensive option than Tony, so bringing him in during FC Dallas was the better decision. I think. I'm not concerned about Tony at all. I'm not.
Now, we talked about it just like moments ago. We only got 22 guys on the roster. Mm-hmm. And if we're not even using everyone, to me, like, that is a concern to me.
Well, then where's Josh Goss? We've seen Josh Goss in one match. Where is he?
That's true. He was there, though.
Okay. Yeah, he was there. Like I said, yes, we need to be... Troy's rotating as much as he possibly can and still giving us the possibility of winning. If you look at... Going back to Las Vegas, if you look at the subs that he had, it was all midfielders and forwards. We had no defensive subs on the 18 that day. None.
We're playing like 20 guys out of 22. Go ahead, Josh.
The New Mexico United remind me of the Duke basketball team. You got all the brothers on the basketball court and the ones that can play, and you got the white guys right in the bench. All right, you're going to play your best. And maybe some of these guys... I don't know. Being a coach myself, you know, you play the ones who are out there, who hustle, who are the ones who are leadership on and off the field. Maybe some of these guys are just there because they, you know, they're not playing because they're not showing anything in practice. Maybe they're not, you know, they're just giving it, I hate to, you know, half-ass it, you know. What if Troy has seen that? And Troy seems like a guy, he wants to pick the best. He wants to put the best on the field every week, and maybe he is. Because maybe these guys just really don't care. Maybe some of these guys we won't even see next year.
So well, that's entirely a possibility based on the contract structure that the club has with the players. And at least, let's ask the same question to you. Like, what do you feel is going on with these guys? You know, Goss, I mean, he's a guy that came in on a trial, on an open trial. You know, he never played professionally before. Mm-hmm. You know, compared to some of the other guys who came out of college, you know, highly touted, for guys who've had experience with other clubs, I can understand Goss playing behind these guys. What do you think about some of the, like we said, you know, Tony or Josh or, you know, Manny not being used?
You know, going off what Josh says, how Coach Troy sees them at practice. When I used to play soccer, my coach would tell me, you play the way you practice, mm-hmm. and I look at you in practice. And I think it's the same thing. If he sees that they're screwing around in practice, not taking it seriously, he's gonna worry, like, what are they gonna do on the field? Mm-hmm. They're gonna probably, our net is not gonna be at zero if I put him on the field. Like, I don't have that trust in him. But I'm, like, going off what you said too, I'm not worried about Tony. I think he's doing perfectly fine, mm-hmm. but he sees more stronger abilities in Juan Pablo, and I agree too. Juan Pablo, I think, is a better midfielder from what I've seen in recent matches. Mm-hmm. And Manny Padilla, I really want him back on the field. Yeah. I love the way he plays. He's an amazing defender to me, and I feel Samson is not really stepping up to his shoes.
I'm sorry, man, I have to
jump on this bandwagon because, like, Samson provides a presence, and he definitely, like, when he is stationary, is very strong. Mm-hmm. But he is not the fastest. Like, our back line is not the fastest. So if there are balls that are loose back there, I worry that someone is going to get that easy sitter goal because the ball is just sitting around because they're not fast. Like, Samson is slower to pursue it. Hamilton is tall, and he provides something to you. But if he misses, that creates chances. Schmidt is tall. He's got vertical. We know this. Mm-hmm. And he's got the boot. He could play something through the mid, but he is also not very fast. So that does concern me. And so I would have brought Padilla in somewhere at the time that I saw anything going on with the Hamilton-Samson combo. Maybe I would have taken Samson out and put Padilla in just for something a little bit more familiar that would have been a little bit more stronger there.
I see where you're coming from. I just, looking at the way that Ethan's played, he's played so well on that right side. He really has. You can't dispute that. You really can't. Look at how many one-on-ones that he's lost. Probably less than five.
He is good when he is moving a few steps at a time. But when it is like the ball is out there, I feel like I might actually be able to catch up to him. And I'm a big guy, you know what I mean? I might actually be able to keep up right there.
All right, so you heard it here. Josh is going to, you know, or Chris is going to be going out for New Mexico Night next time they have open trials next season. We'll see Chris out.
Here's another thing for you guys. You know, you asked why we haven't seen some of these guys. Has it ever come across your mind that some of these guys don't want to be here?
No.
No, because they're getting paid.
Yeah, you're getting paid, but that doesn't mean anything. I've seen NFL players don't give it their all because they're on the team. I mean, how would you feel if you're on the Oakland Raiders? I wouldn't want to play for them.
Nobody would want to.
I say that because Chris is a Raiders fan. But, you know, I've seen players not play because they're on a certain team.
Well, yeah, but you got to think about it. These guys are playing for their chance.
Right, I understand. But, you know,
they go to the MLS, to go to another league. I don't think that's the case at all.
Okay. You know, because sometimes, like, that could be a case. I'm not saying but it could be somewhere else.
It definitely could be. Look at some of the bigger names. Look at how, I'm going to throw it out, Romelu Lukaku. Like,
what? Say that five times fast?
Romelu Lukaku. Yeah.
So Man U
striker, former striker for Everton. The guy just didn't have the work rate that most folks would have wanted, you know. So he went over to Man U, and now there's talk of him. He's saying that he's, you know, going to stay, but I don't think he is. It's all about attitude and appearance. I don't think that's the case at all with any of our guys here.
Look, if you're on the Rapids team, or I'm not Rapids, sorry, if you're on the Switchbacks, maybe this conversation is warranted because I'd be trying to jump ship too. But that being said, Seth, we got to go to a break, man. You take us out to a break?
Yeah, we got to get out of here, go to a break. That's been our Doral Motors Revved Up recap. We'll be right back after this word from Doral Motors.
Doral Motors is dedicated to providing the ultimate automobile buying experience. Doral Motors is your number one source for buying quality pre-owned vehicles. In addition, we offer a full array of financing options to meet your needs. Visit Doral Motors today at 6701 Lomas Boulevard, Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or visit them on their website at www.doralmotors.com. Back to We Are Secret Strike Podcast. Here's your host, Seth and Chris.
Thanks, Josh. We are, of course, back, and I've got a mouthful for you. I apologize. Trying this out here. It is a chocolate peanut butter pie Oreo. Man, it's almost like a Reese's cup. That's really good. I like that. You guys got to try one of these.
I feel like these cookies are humming. You might want to know what that is. I won't go too much into it, but... this gentleman, Brandon Baca, over at the United office, he had this term, and he said humming. And I was like, what's that? Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's when something's trying too hard. And it's not a good thing either. So, you know, I don't know. These cookies might be humming. I'll get back to you.
Nah, you got to get in there and try one. They're really good. And now, I don't know about you guys, but I've been waiting all week for this segment here. We've got our Roadrunner Law Firm full-time fan Q&A. Like, we've been waiting all week. You know, we love hearing from all of our regulars, you know, Egan and Emilio. So, Josh, what have you got on the text line for us?
A lot.
All right, let's get into it.
All right, yes.
All right, so this one was actually the other day, right after the Los Dos game. This one is from Amanda. She is from Albuquerque. She said, guys, is it kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde with this team? I mean, with the... Lamar Hunt Cup, we seem like to be an unstoppable force out there. We look amazing. But then we go back to our regular season and we look like we just don't want to be there or we're exhausted. What do you guys think? Just wanted to hear your comments. Samos Unidos.
Well, Amanda, thanks for the question. We really appreciate that. I mean, we know that both competitions are equally important to Coach Lassane. I mean, he's said it a countless amount of times. Obviously, they do want to do really well in the Open Cup. They do want to state claim that, hey, this is New Mexico, this is what we're about. You know, some of the discourse is that, you know, we have all the guys on the roster, they got to get some rest. Of course, you know, when we're watching the matches and we see what we've seen in both the Sacramento match and the Vegas, or in the Vegas match, as we would frame as alternate rosters, but, you know, those guys are still guys that Troy says, hey, these guys are hungry and these guys have shown, these guys have proven themselves. So I do think that they want both. I think that when they're on the road, you're probably looking more for them to get that point. You know, it is natural for us to be like, hey, they should win every game because they're New Mexico United and they have been winning all these games. But that's something that's really challenged me, is that we have to also think about when they're visiting teams that we're trying to keep the other team from not getting those 3 points. So if they get that point, hey, that's a positive. Now, if we can get that win, that's better. But I don't think it's a matter of them caring about one and not the other. I might have thought differently a few weeks back looking at how they bounce between, but I'm further much convinced that they want both and that they're working to get both.
It's definitely not a lack of desire. That's not it at all. I think as far as the Open Cup goes, it's that we've taken clubs by surprise. I don't think they've necessarily come in knowing what to expect out of us. Number one, because we are an expansion club. Number two, because we are a USL club. You know, we've got two USL clubs now in the quarterfinals, and I think the MLS clubs just aren't putting as much into the Open Cup as they should, and they're just not expecting it. And I think, you know, the results that we've seen lately on the road, yes, points on the road are always good, but I think a lot of it has to do with the, you know, the depth of our roster, and we've talked about that. I also think it has to do with the fact that, look at our schedule. We've already played 21 matches, and some of these other clubs have played, some of them, looking at, we've got our tables here, some of them have only played 13, 14 matches already. So, I mean, we've definitely got, just an Open Cup play alone, we've played the equivalent of 5 matches already. So, I think that's more so what it is than anything else.
Yeah, you know, seeing the lineup against Los Dos, it shocked me, because I thought that our boys were going to get rest time. And I felt like they did need it. When you're playing against somebody that you know is in a better league, and you know that they're better, because seeing FC Dallas, I believe they're like 5 or 4 on mm-hmm. the standings, you're going to give it your all. And after that, and once you go sit down and have a drink of water or something, it just hits you. You feel the soreness, you feel tired, and you know, you can tell our boys are exhausted, and they were trying to get that win. And I was kind of upset. I took the draw as a loss, but it is what it is. And at least they got the point, and at least we didn't lose on the road again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Amanda, so much for the question.
All righty, guys. We can't have a show without Egan.
What's up, Egan?
Egan, he goes, guys, what is up with your start times? watching the U.S. Open Cup last Wednesday, it was a 2:45 a.m. start time over here. Luckily, me and my brother have to get up and watch or get ready for work. We watched it. We wanted to say that was probably one of the greatest games that we've seen with the United. They played their hearts out. Really proud of the guys. And just to let you guys know, we got our United gear here. I've been asked several times, what in the bleep and bleep is Meow Wolf? now I got people asking me, I took the jersey to a match here, and now people are asking me what the New Mexico United are. So you guys are going to be getting thousands more fans out here, cheering on for the United. I'm starting a club out here called Samos UK. And we are going to be cheering on the United. Typo. But yeah, he said, cheering on the United. I'm going to get the club going, and I will send you guys a pic from the pub here. We are going to be drunk, we're going to be happy, and we're going to be watching the United.
Hey, Egan, thanks for the comment. We really appreciate that. You know, we love to hear from fans. You know, I want to say, if you're taking photos, man, definitely make sure you tag Seek and Strike NM on Twitter or our Instagram, or even on Facebook, man. We want some of that love too. And you know, and
my, I don't know. My question for Ian is, what in the world do you do for a living that you get up at you're up at 2:45 in the morning, that you have to get ready for work, man? I get up at 4:40 in the morning. I think that's way too early, but I mean, that's the problem with, you know, being on the West Coast here in the States. You know, I grew up in Atlanta, so always trying to catch, you know, the West Coast games, playing the Dodgers and stuff. This game starting at 10, 11 o'clock at night, man, it was brutal.
Egan, you know what you're going to have to do, man? You're going to have to petition for the club to charter a flight over here so that you can come watch a game in New Mexico.
That'd be awesome. And the fact that you're starting a group over there, supporters group over there, that's really cool. And we love to hear that. Thanks for the text, Egan.
All righty, so next one, again, couldn't be a show without Emilio.
Emilio
said, kudos to Josh. He posted on Facebook the other day. He's at 120 likes. If you guys didn't know, I posted, it's like going, like when you go into like a gas station or a restaurant and someone sees your shirt and they're like, Somos, you have no choice but to say Unidos, like real nice and proud. And he says, dude, it happened to me 6 times this past week. I walked into Monroe's. I'm not trying to throw any sponsorships your way. he said, I walked into Monroe's, and 6 people came up to me saying Somos or Unidos or something, saying, like, this is our new catchphrase here in New Mexico. I totally agree with him. It's way better than saying Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so weak. That's, get out of here.
War Eagle.
Yeah, you definitely fired.
You know, he's all, have you talk about your guys' experience, Josh? We know yours while running into the gas station. But can you guys tell us if you guys have ever have that happen to you? Where it doesn't have to be the United, but you walked into a place and you've seen someone sees your gear and they yell your chant or your catchphrase or anything like that. Thanks, guys. Also, good job on the podcast. I subscribed and I listen every week. I love you guys. You guys are way better than CurseCast. But yeah, you guys rock. Somos Unidos. I'm out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Emilio.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and interject while you got all these haters in the room.
I totally agree. It's way better than Roll Tide.
So I'm a Crimson Tide fan. You know, I love Alabama football. I was born on campus.
Sorry, Chris. I'm sorry.
And no, don't be sorry. Clemson. You'd be jealous. And so anywhere I go when I'm rocking the hat, you know, someone's like Roll Tide, even when they're wearing UNM gear or when they're wearing whatever team, they're like Roll Tide. You know, I rarely get those people, those, I feel like, what's that terminology you use? What do you say? You always say you don't want to be a homer. Oh, that's what it is.
A homer, yeah.
You know, I feel like Seth would be the one to go, oh, is that an Atlanta Braves hat? And I'm like, no, there's a little squiggle on the A.
There's a big difference in the A's. You don't even get me started on that. No, there's a huge difference. I mean, for me, you know, honestly, I had someone recognize me at work, like from the articles. On the site, but you know,
that's because I put your picture on there.
No, someone asked me, they're like, oh, is that you? I'm like, yeah, that's me, because you know, I saw the name. I was like, yeah. And so, but no, like growing up, you know, I talk about, you know, a lot, you know, growing up in Atlanta, you know, everyone back then, especially in the 90s, you know, you saw someone with a tomahawk, you started throwing the chop, you know, and everyone knew what
Kansas
it was.
Kansas City?
No. Nah, Atlanta Braves. Heck with them.
Is that a direction to go? Get out of here.
Bathroom is that way.
Right. In the trash.
I mean, the thing is, there aren't very, if you think about it, how many slogans or catchphrases are there?
I mean,
the only one that matters.
You got Go Blue for Michigan State. Or Michigan, sorry. Michigan
State. Wow. You watch sports.
I mean yeah. Every school has their chant, or you know, you see it around. But
I think it's a very regional thing, though.
Yeah. How about you, Alicia? Have you had that happen to you?
No, I really haven't. And like back when I was in high school, they would argue, "Oh, Aggies are the best," and I'm like, "No, Aggies is equal to CNM."
Man.
Dang.
That's funny though. I laughed. No, I mean people recognize me because. Chris, you know, I do the Lowell Hockey Network. I do the play-by-play for the Lowell hockey team. So people recognize me from seeing me at the game. You know, I've even had a little kid recognize me and go, hey, that's Josh from Lowell Hockey. And you're like, you know, you feel proud of yourself, and you know, but yeah, I mean, here in New Mexico, Somos Unidos and Everyone's a Lobo are probably going to be the two biggest things that you see around here. So
I think what Josh is saying is that we got to get bios up on the website or photos so that people can recognize us out in public.
Yeah, I feel like I just need to tag him to everything.
There you go.
Okay. Next question.
All right, so this one is from Tiffany. She is from Dallas, Texas.
Tiffany!
She says, hey guys, I saw this on iTunes. I saw that you guys had a podcast. I'm a first-time listener, first-time questionnaire, I should say. She said, hey, I'm a big FC Dallas fan. I gotta give you guys kudos. Your crowd was absolutely amazing. They totally showed up, our supporters. I just want to give you guys... that your guys are the nicest people that have ever come into our stadium. Oklahoma City was a nightmare to deal with. They were cursing and swearing, and they were just not fun to be around. But you guys were actually real kind. Your owner is an absolutely amazing guy. He came around to all of us, shaking our hands, asking us questions about our club. So kudos to you guys, and I want to give a big shout-out to the New Mexico United because they are a class act organization. Good job. Keep up the good work. And P.S., destroy Minnesota because we do not stand.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Tiffany, thanks for the comment. We appreciate it. We hope that that you'll subscribe after this episode. And if you don't have a USL championship team, you're more than welcome to be a New Mexico United
Absolutely.
Fan.
Yeah, thank you for the kind words. You know, we've talked about, you know, Peter and the entire front office, they've done such a tremendous job. And, you know, with fan support and interacting with the fans and, you know, the curse and, you know, organizing the travel for these away trips, it's been really awesome. And yeah, thank you for the kind words again, Tiffany.
So Egan texted back in. He says, Seth, to answer your questions, my fine friend, I am a milk delivery man. Yes,
hey.
We still do that here in England.
Can I get some milk?
We put it in our cooler. We put it in coolers. And if you guys don't know, because my boss actually told me this, they call refrigerators coolers over there in England. So, my brother is actually a UPS driver over here.
Okay.
So
okay.
He has to be at work at 4:30 in the morning just so he can get his truck loaded. But, yes, I deliver milk. And you know what's funny is I ordered 100 stickers for New Mexico United. I put 50 of them on bottles around town.
Nice.
I will have to send you a pic next time I do it. But good job tonight, guys. I got to get to work. You guys have a great night.
That's really cool. Thank you so much, Egan. Have a good night.
We should send you some of these Oreos, Egan, so you could dunk them in the milk. One fell off the back of the truck.
So there you go. You got your question answered.
That's right, really cool.
Right on.
And that's it for me, guys. I don't know.
That's it. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our full-time fan Q&A. We're, of course, brought to you by Roadrunner Law Firm. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after these words from Roadrunner Law Firm.
Where's the call, ref?
Yeah, that should have been a yellow.
They just never seem to get it right.
And the game continues.
If you have been hurt or injured by someone, you deserve the right call. Roadrunner Law Firm specializes in personal injury cases and wants you to get the right call. Raise up a yellow card if you've lost a loved one due to a wrongful death, been in a car or motorcycle accident, been hurt by a drunk driver, or been hurt due to negligence of others. If the right call was not made, we'd like to hear from you. For more information, visit our website at www.roadrunnerlaw.com or make the call to Roadrunner Law Firm at 505-444-4321.
Welcome back to We Are Seek and Strike Podcast. Here's your host, Seth and Chris.
Thanks so much, Josh. We are back again, and we're going to go beyond the touchline a little bit. Chris, you've been something that we've wanted to be working on this season is getting some exposure to the other local clubs that we've got. We've got Albuquerque FC and Albuquerque Soul FC. Now, Albuquerque FC, you know, of course, our women's club, they actually are looking at a playoff berth this year.
Yeah, you know, the women have definitely done it. I mean, they are obviously sitting 5-1-1, and I believe they're waiting to see the results of a match that was postponed. It's supposed to possibly be a draw where they get an average of the points that they've scored all year. So they're currently averaging about 2.8 goals a game. So they're thinking that that may go in their favor to where that pretty much registers as a win. Or, I'm sorry, as a draw, but with those points for differential. So Albuquerque FC, like I said, 5-1-1. They are first in the Desert Division of the WPSL.
Mm-hmm.
So the ladies have done it. Their last three games, which have all been... or their three games at home, they're 3-0. This past weekend, I mean, they outscored their opponents 9-2. They played Phoenix del Sol, and they also played FC Arizona. And, I mean, they're looking good. They're excited for the possibility of playoffs. Obviously, they're trying to get some sponsors so that they can, you know, fund their transportation there.
Yeah.
But I think that that is pretty... awesome for first year women's semi-pro club.
So, yeah, that's really awesome to hear, especially that they're having so much success.
Yeah,
are there any standouts from the club that you could see possibly, you know, moving on to you know, like the NPSL, is it NPSL or the
NWSL?
NWSL,
yeah.
Or to possibly even like a national club.
Well, okay, so remember, I think I told you a little bit before, but so they have Brianna Martinez. She is U-20 women's national team.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have her. So she actually left on Monday and went back to Notre Dame because she plays in Notre Dame, and she has started every single year that she's played.
Okay.
Or she's a starter, so she's played in her, I think it was her freshman year, so she's played in 16 or 17 games, I believe that's the stat. Then there was Kat Robinson, who was the primary goalie, who went... she's from Pittsburgh University of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So she had registered 20 saves over three games, I'm sorry. And she had left a few games back and gone back to Pittsburgh to get ready for her season.
Mm-hmm.
As far as who's here, I mean, before the weekend really started, you have Gwen Molly, who plays for the Lobos. I mean, she was leading the team with 4 goals. And then, of course, you have Leilani Baker as well, who plays for the Lobos. She's the current leader of goals right now. She had a hat trick in her match against Phoenix del Sol on Saturday. So they're doing things. I mean, Corey Kaiser is another one that is a standout. I mean, they really do have a lot of weapons. One of the things that the assistant coach, Rick Martinelli, told me is that not all of the women travel. There are mm-hmm. some that can't travel. So... they've done impressive on the road to the fact that when they're at home, they have additional weapons. So that really has added to their arsenal. So, you know, obviously losing a couple of players because of, you know, college starting up and also not being able to travel unless they somehow get funding and can convince yeah. or are convinced to go. It should be interesting to see what they do, but they're definitely really excited.
So if you're any of our business partners, you know, anyone's listening that owns a business, you want to be involved in one of these local clubs, get in touch with Albuquerque FC. I mean, we'd love to see these ladies, you know, get out there and be able to make their playoff berth and you know, just see how far they can go. Chris, also, like, how are the Sol FC doing? I know coming into the season, there was even a question as to whether or not the Sol would be viable this year, whether they actually be a club.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they are making strides with every match. They got their first one on Saturday. They won 4-3 against Park City SC Red Wolves. So obviously that is everything coming together. On Sunday, they didn't win. I mean, they lost 2-1. However, head coach Steve Kramer and technical director Justin Sells, like, they feel real strongly about the progress that the guys are making. And, you know, and they're definitely learning through the matches. They fell to a 10-man disadvantage on Sunday. So they definitely learned how to maneuver in a 3-5-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so at this point, there's 6 matches left on the season. the next four are on the road, and then the last two are actually at home at St. Pius. And they do have a chance to technically turn things around, but it's just going to take them, obviously, you know, bringing numbers forward. It's going to take not having certain penalties. One thing I did ask Justin Sells is, you know, okay, the climate, you know, the temperature is going up 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
So they're starting to have them practice earlier in the evening to get them conditioned for that temperature. I'm going out to their training tomorrow so I can kind of see what they're working on. But
very cool.
Yeah. So, but they got their first win, and I mean, they're turning it around. I think that they'll get a few more wins out of this.
Well, that's awesome. If you can't get out there, support Soul FC. Again, all their home matches are out at St. Pius off on Coors. You can look. Be sure to check them out on social media and at their website to find out when those matches are. Definitely get out there, support them. You know, the more we talked about it before, the more support we can show all of our local clubs, the better it's going to impact the soccer community as a whole here in
Albuquerque. Well, I am glad I came here tonight because I want to share some breaking news with you guys. I got in contact with Heather. She runs both the, I believe, like the social media and stuff like that for the Albuquerque FC and the Soul.
It's Hannah.
Yeah, sorry. Excuse me. I should have got that right. She contacted me this week because she actually is dating one of the local hockey players. And she asked me if my team would be willing to stream the games next season.
Oh,
so
wow.
I agreed to do it. I'm going to ask, we'll talk off air, but I'm going to see if maybe this is the start of Seek and Strike going streaming for these squads, but I will definitely be part of it next year. She put me in charge of running it for next year. Not this season, just because it was just so short notice and my local hockey squad couldn't get there.
Cool.
But
what do you think, Chris? Get out and do some commentary?
Hey, man, I think it sounds good. As long as I can get some of that Pop's Italian ice, I think Rick Martinelli might know something about that.
Just remember that I am your boss, Chris, when it comes to that, because it's good. Because it is Local Hockey Network powered and run, so.
By Seek and Strike Collective.
I think that would be an awesome opportunity.
Yeah.
Mainly, even, like, yes, for us, of course, but also for Soul and for Albuquerque FC to just get that exposure going.
Hannah was saying that they've had a lot of people asking if they can stream it.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I know just the crew that could possibly pull this off. And like I said, she's dating one of the local hockey players anyway. So just
put her business out there.
that'd be very cool. You know, and so, you know, we'll definitely talk about it off air.
Yeah.
So, Hannah, thank you so much. We'll definitely talk about that. So, now, Chris, you brought up something to me the other day that we kind of talked about it a little bit, you know, NM Street Soccer. You said they've got an upcoming tournament, and you didn't give me all the details right then. So what's going on with this?
So we got the Doral Motors United Cup, and obviously this is put on by, you know, one of our sponsors, Doral Motors, in junction with New Mexico Street Soccer. And they've got a tournament coming up. It's on the 29th, which is this Saturday. It's $20 a team, and basically they're trying to put together the brackets. It looks like right now they've got six teams confirmed. The Curse is in there. Lincoln FC, Team New Mexiquin. That's funny. top season. I guess that's SZN. Top season. Albuquerque Red Devils. Oh, shout out the Paleta Bar, and so. I know in one of the previous tournaments, the Paleta Bar did take that whole tournament. So that's what they've got going on. You know, I honestly think that we should be thinking about getting in one. I mean, I don't know this 80-90 degree thing. We might have to have a Paleta if we're playing this match. But
any chance they'll have a hose out there to, you know?
I don't know. But I will tell you this. We definitely are a Seek and Strike. We are sponsoring what New Mexico Street Soccer is doing. They are supporting what we're doing. So we did get a ad board in their cage. So that will be showing pretty soon. So that's pretty awesome. We definitely, you know, have to give a shout out to Josh David and New Mexico Street Soccer for what you're doing. And hopefully we can have a Seek and Strike Collective Cup of our own sometime.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'll have to talk about that.
Why are we in this tournament, Chris? You'd be a perfect goaltender.
we might have to fill the team. I wonder if we could reach out to House of Soccer and get like some kits made.
You never know. Stranger things have happened. You know, it's just we're hanging out. We're having a good time. You know, not much to talk about left on our show tonight. You know, we do have our social media question from last week. Chris, I don't know if you saw any answers on Facebook or Instagram or anywhere. We did get one answer on Twitter. You know, last week we did ask, you know, what was your take on the U.S. Women's National Team with their goals and their celebrations? I got one response from Josh. He said, "Let them celebrate." Yeah, I think that's basically
smart
what we
man. Yeah.
That's what we all said. You know, so and you know, it's really hard to argue against that. And you know, before we you know get out and you know move on.
Oh wait, I there is one thing I want to throw out there.
Okay.
So it looks like the U.S. looks like we might have another rival sooner or later, right? Did you hear that the USL has brought on San Diego as a club? Yeah. So there's USL San Diego.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, just recently. USL Championship announced on their social media that San Diego is going to be part of the Western Conference, I believe, next year. So that should be interesting.
Yeah. That's about time San Diego has a professional sports club out there.
Yeah, the co-founder
Hey, we got the San Diego goals.
The co-founder of Sacramento Republic as well as Landon Donovan are involved in this club. So that should be really interesting, but you know what that means? I mean, they did send out something on Twitter just kind of congratulating New Mexico United for their success in the Open Cup, and obviously that's good for them because they'll be a first-year club also trying to get it too.
Hey guys, just I saw this on Facebook. I don't. Did we talk about this? I don't know. Sorry, I've been trying to run the board here.
No, that's
fine. I got something that said Kevon Frater's out for Minnesota.
Yes. Kevon will be. We'll talk about. We'll talk about it now. But yeah, because of yellow card accumulation rule and the U.S. Open Cup, he's got 3 yellow cards. He will miss the Minnesota United match.
And then another thing too. Egan just texted one last thing before he sent off. But
Egan again. Yeah.
He said, guys. Did you guys see the thing on Facebook? It's been trending over here about flopping in soccer and how they're going to start eliminating.
That's nothing new, but
he says it's getting kind of ridiculous. I was watching a Women's World Cup today, and I saw somebody just barely get tapped in their knee, and they rolled around like a little sissy baby girl. No offense to the girl in the room, sorry. But he said that this is actually getting ridiculous. Even here in England, we're getting pretty upset about the flopping going around. I don't know how it is over there in America, but we've seen some where we had one the other night where a guy was running and he accidentally, he purposely ran into the referee. The referee kind of just shrugged him off and he rolled on the ground crying like a little sassy. I don't know about you guys, but I think there's enough LeBron James around the world here to get rid of the flopping. What do you guys think about flopping? Should they be more stern about it? Should they be more strict about it? Maybe a yellow if it's overreacted. What are you guys' takes? I just wanted to hear what you guys
have
to say.
Well, they do give out yellows for simulation, you know, in that case. I mean, in a lot of cases, it's really hard to tell whether or not it's a flop. Now, in the case of Neymar, it's always a flop.
Oh.
You know, I'm sure everyone's seen the GIF of Neymar, you know, rolling on the ground for like 15 minutes straight. Mm-hmm. You know, I put out a similar thing. You know, and there was a game, I think it was in the playoffs last season, where Tom Brady, someone just basically like tapped his chest and he flopped back. And I said, you know, I put out a tweet at the time. I said, no one's ever seen Neymar and Tom Brady in the room at the same time. So, I mean, yes, they need to do something about the flopping. I think it is an epidemic, so to speak, you know, within soccer. But again, it's one of those situations where it's hard to tell at times whether it actually is a flop or not. So
right, and you know, it's if you guys watch like the NFL and they have like an injury that happens, because I know most teams do this. Most teams, they'll flop and they'll act like they're hurt to kill time.
Yeah.
In the NFL, they have a time runoff. You know, or someone, if you're out of timeout, someone gets hurt. Yeah. It happened to, I think it was Tampa Bay last year for the Buccaneers. They had 10 seconds left on the clock. Yeah. Mike Evans got hurt. They didn't have any timeouts. Game was over because of the, you know, I think some kind of rule like that needs to go into effect where.
Well, we definitely know there's time wasting when it comes to extra time and things like that. You know, players taking a little extra time, mm-hmm. trying to run time off the clock. But, I mean, really, what more can we do? So.
And then another question to you guys is, what do you guys think of the VAR? Since we have like 5 minutes here to spare, I thought we could give our fans a little something more. But honestly, honest opinion, and that goes for any sport, not just soccer. That goes for any sport. Yeah. Does it ruin games? Does it ruin the watching experience as a fan?
I think it does. And I know you said it's about other sports, but, you know, recently watching the Women's World Cup, you see, like, oh, let's check this for VAR. Let's check this. Let's check that. And they're literally, like, in inch offside and it's no goal, and you're like, seriously, just let them play. It was basically onside. You're seriously gonna call them for an inch? Like, it's not fair. Let the fans enjoy the game. And I just think the VAR is getting a little too excessive now, and I'm not really enjoying watching soccer as I used to.
The biggest thing for me is the amount of time that it takes. Now, if it's a quick decision, and we've seen that happen, you know, they go up just to verify the call is correct or whatever, and it comes back, you know, less, you know, a minute, maybe 2 minutes later. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that because it doesn't really take you out of the pace of the match. What does bug me is when, you know, an NFL review takes 5 minutes, or when a soccer review takes 4 or 5 minutes. It just really takes the pace out of the match, and it just disrupts any sort of flow that whichever team may have had. That's where I have an issue with it. Overall, I think it's good for the sport. I think they're looking at some of the rules that they're reviewing, such as the goalie thing that we've seen here in the Women's National in the Women's World Cup. You know, they're looking at that, and they're now going to leave that up to a judgment of the field officials on the field, because looking at every single penalty kick is going to be problematic at best. So, I mean, they're making improvements to it. I think it's a necessary thing.
Now hear this. VAR is for people who, in the midst of you posting on Facebook, would stick out and go, oh, that's Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, but just totally miss the whole message.
Yeah.
That's who needs VAR. I don't care. Take it out. We don't need that. Just let the game play the way it is. Some things are called against you. Some things are called for you. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had a lot of great questions tonight, a lot of great discussion. You know, before we do get out of here, I do have, you know, I'll throw out a new social media question of the week.
Okay.
So, and this is from personal experience. You know, Chris, you, Josh, and myself were of the age where we grew up with certain films. You know, we saw Star Wars the first times, you know, in theaters, or as young kids. We saw, and, you know, we saw things like Toy Story. You know, we saw the whole series as we were kids, or, you know, growing up. Chris, you may have been a little bit older than Toy Story. I don't know, but no, not as a slight. I'm just,
oh,
you know,
shoot.
That was a movie that came out when we were younger. So we went and took the kids this weekend to go see Toy Story 4.
I loved it.
Oh, man. Like, so for 95% of the movie, I was sitting there going, they should have just stopped at number 3. And then at the end, I'm not going to give any spoilers, I'm like, all right, who started cutting the onion in here?
Yeah.
You know? Like, and my wife, she looked at me, she goes, are you tearing up? I'm like, no, I'm not tearing up over here.
God, stupid allergies. No, I agree with you. I think it ended the way I think it should have ended. Yeah.
Hey, I haven't seen it yet, but you know,
no, I'm not,
oh, yeah, we're not gonna give any spoilers here.
But you guys got me thinking that we just need to go and do like a Seek and Strike MST3K and just go watch a movie together and do a additional bonus content for our listeners on how we felt about movies that have already been out for at least a month.
Give it to my boy, though, Keanu Reeves. I loved him in that movie. Key and Peele were also very... they made the. I think those three guys made that movie, especially Key and Peele. They made that movie just hilarious. But it ended the way it should have. Now, if they make another one, I'm going to say, okay, that's a mistake. But this ended the way...
So that brings me to the question, though. So with all these movie universes, cinematic universes now, what movie series went on for too long?
Fast and Furious?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Fast and Furious.
You know there's more coming, right? They've got Hobbs and Shaw coming out this summer.
Well, that's a spinoff, but you know who they're rumored to get in the next one?
I haven't heard.
Biebs.
Oh, no. If that's the case,
it to be the Paul Walker replacement.
If that's the case, I'm out on Fast and the Furious. Chris, what's your series?
That they made too many of?
Yeah. Where do you think they should, like, what series do you think they should have stopped instead of doing a prequel or a sequel?
Oh, that's a good one, actually. Maybe it was the, is it Step Up? Is that the movie?
Step Up? Oh, okay.
I feel like maybe after the second one, they probably should have cut it. Cause
Step it was, Up 3, Back to the Streets, yeah. Edition.
Yeah. I feel like they were going to do like a mashup with like Fast and Furious somehow, with Ludacris up in there.
Alicia?
I like horror films, but I feel like Saw has been going on for way too long now.
Saw? Okay, yeah. I can see that.
Hey.
No, I agree. The first couple were really great, but no, I agree. Saw 7 now or something?
I think Saw 8 or something. But no, if you're going horror films, I think you kind of have to stop with like the Halloweens and the. How many times can you reboot the series? Yeah. And because if we remember like Halloween H2O.
That was terrible.
And then Halloween Resurrection, and then we go back to Halloween like that was just released last year. Like, what the heck happened in the storyline where she's alive again? Like, I don't know.
No, so, I agree. Yeah, I saw that in the theaters. That was terrible.
Terminator.
They're making another one, and I saw Arnold in it. And I was like, dude, the dude is 100. He cannot fly through cars anymore. Like,
cut it out. I don't know. For me, Land Before Time. They're now up to Land Before Time 14, which was released like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
That's kids, man. Like,
I don't care. Give me Littlefoot. Give me the first like two movies, and I'm good. But I mean, in all seriousness, we went to talk about Terminator. We talked about some of these others.
I'm actually going to stop. I'm going to say one where it needs to stop now before they make another one. I love the first one. I'm glad it won an Academy Award for Best Actor, but there doesn't need to be a Bohemian Rhapsody 2.
No, there shouldn't.
No, they're talking about bringing it back, and it's just like, okay, yes, you want to talk about his life after Live Aid, but it needs to stop. Like, don't ruin what you had.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars also kind of needs to stop, too.
Oh, I agree with that one.
After this should be it. Like, no more.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for us. We're going to throw out our social media question on Twitter and Facebook and all that, so please get back to us. And of course, as always, our show would not be possible without our sponsors. We want to give a huge, huge Seek and Strike thank you to Doral Motors and Roadrunner Law Firm for their continued support. I mean, of course, and we are always looking for other ways to branch out and partner with anyone else in the community here. And of course, if you're interested in what we're doing here, and we'd love to be a part of what you're doing, you can shoot us an email to seekandstrikecollective@gmail.com.
Yeah, and listen to all our previous episodes of We Are Seek and Strike podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now we are also on Google Podcasts. If you hear something you like, please consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. We thrive on feedback. Please leave us a review, and we would definitely love a 5-star rating.
Yes.
For all of our Seek and Strike social media, you can actually find us on Instagram is Seek and Strike NM. Twitter is Seek and Strike NM as well.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is Seek and Strike Collective. And then, of course, subscribe to the blog at seekandstrikecollective.com. I am working on putting together a social media platform, so we won't spin this off. But that's pretty much going to do it for us tonight. For Alicia, Seth, Josh, and myself, we are Seek and Strike Collective. You've been listening to the We Are Seek and Strike podcast.
All right, everybody. Have a good night. We'll see you guys next Monday right here on We Are Seek and Strike. Good night, everybody.
Right.